Psalm 68 verses 19 to 35. Psalm 68 verses 19 to 35. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong deliverances from death. But God will strike the heads of his enemies, the hairy crown of him who walks in his guilty ways. The Lord said, I will bring them back from Bashan. I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that you may strike your feet in their blood, that the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from the foe. Your procession is seen, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers in front, the musicians last, between them virgins playing tambourines. Bless God in the great congregation, the Lord, O you who are of Israel's fountain. There is Benjamin, the least of them, in the lead, the princes of Judah in their throng, the princes of Zebulun, the princes of Naphtali. Summon your power, O God, the power, O God, by which you have worked for us. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings shall bear gifts to you. Rebuke the beasts that dwell among the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the peoples. Trample underfoot those who lust after tribute. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. Nobles shall come from Egypt. Cush shall hasten to stretch out her hands to God. O kingdoms of the earth, sing to God, sing praises to the Lord. To him who rides in the heavens, the ancient heavens, behold, he sends out his voice, his mighty voice. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel and whose power is in the skies. Awesome is God from his sanctuary, the God of Israel. He is the one who gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God. Now in our study of Psalm 68, we looked at the many parallels in the psalm with the song of Deborah, which is found in Judges chapter 5. And David, being a man after God's own heart, he knew the scriptures. David knew God's word. And he writes the psalm using the scriptures that he had. The emphasis in Psalm 68 is on God's mighty acts on behalf of Israel. The Lord hears the cry of his people who were oppressed by their enemies. He heard their cry in Egypt. And he also heard their cry when they were dwelling in the promised land that he had given them. When they were in the promised land, God allowed them to go through oppression from the enemy because of their own sins. God used their enemies to chastise them, but when they cried out to God for mercy and forgiveness, God heard them, God forgave them, and God delivered them. God promises them that he himself will dwell and reign from Mount Zion. That's the promise here in Psalm 68. We also noted that Psalm 68 is a messianic psalm. And the Apostle Paul quotes verse 18 in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8. He quotes Psalm 68 verse 18 in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8. And he applies it to the ascension of Christ. Psalm 68 verse 18. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8. Paul is quoting this verse and he says, therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. So Paul applies that verse, verse 18, to the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this psalm is a jubilant hymn of praise to Yahweh, God Almighty. And in this psalm, the nation of Israel gives four expressions of victory, which they received through their God. And David records this. In verses 1 to 6, he says, our God is coming to us. Then in verses 7 to 18, he says, our God is marching before us. And then he says in verses 19 to 27, our God is dwelling with us. And finally in Psalm 68 verses 28 to 35, he says, our God receives universal tribute, universal praise. We have looked at verses 1 to 18 in our last two studies, and now we will look into the rest of the psalm. Verses 19 to 27, our God is dwelling with us. David saw the Lord's presence on Zion as a blessing, first of all, to those who were burdened and those who were in danger. Remember, when they sinned against God, God allowed the enemy to attack them. And then they cried out to God for mercy. God heard their cry. Psalm 68 verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Jehovah, our King, bears our burdens and he defeats our enemies. So we need not fear the enemy while we are doing the will of God. God knows how to deal with the enemy. Certainly David saw the Lord win great victories for Israel so that the borders of the kingdom were greatly enlarged. Psalm 68 verses 20 to 22. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. But God will wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of the one who still goes on in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring back from Bashan, I will bring them back from the depths of the sea. In verse 21, David says, in verse 21, but God will wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of the one who still goes on in his trespasses. Hairy crowns, or the hairy scalp, verse 21, signifies the manly enemy warriors who trusted in their youth and in their strength. The enemy may flee, but the Lord will chase them down and he will bring them back from the tops of the mountains and also from the depths of the sea, from the east, from Bashan, that is the east, and the west, that's the Mediterranean Sea. So the Lord will bring them back. Wherever they run, he will catch them, he will bring them back, and he'll punish them. You see, those who rebel against the Lord and who are at enmity with him will one day have to face the wrath of God. God's enemies cannot hide from God's wrath. Amos chapter 9 verses 1 to 3. I saw the Lord standing by the altar and he said, strike the doorposts that the thresholds may shake and break them on the heads of them all. I will slay the last of them with the sword. He who flees from them shall not get away, and he who escapes from them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, from there my hand shall take them. Though they climb up to heaven, from there I will bring them down. And though they hide themselves on top of Carmel, from there I will search and take them. Though they hide from my sight at the bottom of the sea, from there I will command the serpent and it shall bite them. Now the picture in Psalm 68 verse 23, it's not a pretty picture. Psalm 68 verse 23, that you may strike your feet in their blood, that the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from the foe. Dogs licking blood. That was a common phrase that was used for the most complete kind of judgment that God will give to the wicked. And the humiliation. Ahab was an extremely wicked king of Israel. Jezebel, his wife, planned the killing of Naboth and took away Naboth's vineyard. And God pronounced judgment upon Ahab through the prophet Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 17 to 24. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone to take possession. And you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, have you killed and also taken possession? And you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick your own blood. Ahab said to Elijah, have you found me, O my enemy? He answered, I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do what is evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring disaster upon you. I will utterly burn you up and will cut off from Ahab every male bond or free in Israel. And I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the anger to which you have provoked me, and because you have made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel, the Lord also said, the dog shall eat Jezebel within the walls of Jezreel. Anyone belonging to Ahab who dies in the city, the dog shall eat. And anyone of his who dies in the open country, the birds of the heavens shall eat. Now this prophecy was fulfilled through King Jehu. God brought judgment upon Ahab. We read of it in 2 Kings chapter 9 verses 30 to 37. When Jehu came to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. And she painted her eyes and adorned her head and looked out of the window. And as Jehu entered the gate, she said, "Is it peace, you Zimri, murderer of your master?" And he lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" Two or three eunuchs looked out at him. He said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down. And some of her blood spattered on the wall and on the horses, and they trampled on her. Then he went in and ate and drank, and he said, "See now to this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter." But when they went to bury her, they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. When they came back and told him, he said, "This is the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite. In the territory of Jezreel, the dog shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the corpse of Jezebel shall be as dung on the face of the field in the territory of Jezreel, so that no one can say, 'This is Jezebel.'" So God brought judgment on the household of Ahab through Jehu. Now coming back to Psalm 68, in verses 24 to 27 of Psalm 68, we read about the king who now receives the homage of his people who gladly say, "My God, my King." Verses 24 to 27, I read to you from the New King James Version. "They have seen your procession, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after." The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. "Among them were the maidens playing timbrels. Bless God in the congregations, the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin, their leader, the princes of Judah and their company, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Both men and women, lay people and priests, they are joining in praising the Lord, the King, who is certainly none other than the Messiah. Zion was situated at the border of Judah and Benjamin, and David comes from the tribe of Judah, and King Saul comes from the tribe of Benjamin. So as the youngest of the sons of Jacob, and perhaps as the tribe of Israel's first king, Benjamin leads the procession along with the leaders of Judah, representing the southern tribes, and the leaders of Zebulun and Naphtali, the northern tribes. Israel is seen as a united people praising the Lord." Now we have a foretaste of this welcome of the Messiah on the Sunday of the last Passover week of the ministry of our Lord Jesus on earth. In Matthew 21 verses 1 to 11 I read, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once.' This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet saying, 'Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.' The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, 'Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!' And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." Now the leaders of the Jews, they rejected the Messiah and they handed him over to be crucified by the Romans. He died and he rose again from the dead and he ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives. He is coming back again and his feet will once again touch the Mountain of Olives. This is the second part of the second coming of Christ. The first part is the rapture where the dead in Christ shall rise first and those of us who are alive will be caught up to be with him in the air. But the second part of the second coming, that is after the tribulation, after 7 years of tribulation, the Lord Jesus comes and he comes to reign on earth for 1,000 years, his feet will touch the Mount of Olives. He will judge the peoples of the earth and he will reign from Jerusalem as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. For 1,000 years he will reign. When the Lord ascended into heaven, we read in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, "And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" Now let's read Revelation chapter 22, verse 7. "And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Revelation 22, verses 12 and 13. "Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. "Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. Also I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. In verse 26 of Psalm 68, we read of the fountain of Israel. The fountain of Israel. Psalm 68 verse 26. "Bless God in the great congregation, the Lord, O you who are of Israel's fountain." Now this refers to none else but the Lord Jesus. Psalm 36 verse 9. "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light." The fourth thing that we see in this psalm is the fact that God will receive universal praise, universal tribute. In verses 28 to 35, he receives universal praise. "Summon your might, O God. Display your power, O God, as you have in the past. The kings of the earth are bringing tribute to your temple in Jerusalem. Rebuke these enemy nations, these wild animals lurking in the reeds, this herd of bulls among the weaker calves. Make them bring bars of silver in humble tribute. Scatter the nations that delight in war. Let Egypt come with gifts of precious metals. Let Ethiopia bring tribute to God. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord. Sing to the one who rides across the ancient heavens, his mighty voice thundering from the sky. Tell everyone about God's power. His majesty shines down on Israel. His strength is mighty in the heavens. God is awesome in his sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God." Now this last portion of the psalm has very strong prophetic overtones. It describes the Gentile nations submitting to Jehovah, the God of Israel, and bringing him their worship. In the book of Isaiah chapter 2 verses 1 to 4, we read, "This is a vision that Isaiah son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all, the most important place on earth. It will be raised above the other hills and people from all over the world will stream there to worship. People from many nations will come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God. There he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Lord's teaching will go out from Zion, His word will go out from Jerusalem. The Lord will mediate between nations and will settle international disputes. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer fight against nation, nor train for war anymore. Now we read in Revelation 21 verses 2 to 4, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." You see, until the Lord Jesus Christ reigns in Jerusalem, there can be absolutely no peace on earth. Isaiah chapter 9 verses 6 to 7. "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity." The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Now, speaking about the Messiah, Isaiah tells us in Isaiah chapter 11 verses 1 to 9, "Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance, nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and a little child will lead them all. The cow will graze near the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in a nest of deadly snakes without harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with the people who know the Lord." In Psalm 68 verse 31 we read, "Let Egypt come with gifts of precious metals. Let Ethiopia bring tribute to God. God will defeat Israel's old enemy Egypt, along with her allies." We see this in Ezekiel chapter 29. "And Egypt and its allies will send envoys to Jerusalem with tribute. The Gentile nations will join Israel in singing praises to the Lord and extolling his majesty and his power." Psalm 68 verse 35. "God is awesome in his sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God." This is all prophecy of the rule of Christ on earth. He will reign for 1,000 years on earth. Now, most likely the sanctuary mentioned here in verse 35 is the one described in Ezekiel chapter 40 to chapter 48. It certainly is awesome. The Messiah will reign with his people on earth. Hallelujah! Now, today, the Lord Jesus Christ lives in every individual believer through the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are his temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 19. "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own." Not only does he dwell in the life of every believer, he also dwells in his church, which is his body on earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16. "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" He's speaking about the church, the body of Christ. In this difficult and evil world that we dwell in, what does God do for us? He hears our cry. He hears the cry of our hearts and he bears our burdens as we go through difficult situations and circumstances in this world. Psalm 68 verse 19. "Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up." God is our salvation. Now, not only does He give us the free gift of salvation, He also bears our burdens and He carries us through every difficult situation in life. And sometimes we feel so overburdened with the burdens in life. The Apostle Paul felt like that. He was burdened with a thorn in the flesh. But what did God do? God turned that burden into a benefit. He told Paul, I'm going to give you the grace that you need. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 9. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time He said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. So you see here, that burden becomes a benefit for Paul. But you might be saying, I have some heavy burdens. I don't see much benefit from them. Notice that word daily in verse 19. Psalm 68 verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. You see, we need to learn to live one day at a time. To think of all of life's burdens coming at one point of time can be crushing. Remember what you've been through in life. Each one of us, we have gone through circumstances in life that we thought we would never get through. We felt so beaten, we thought we'll never be able to get through this situation. For children in school, it may be a tough examination. For us adults, it may have been a terminal sickness like cancer. Or it may have been the death of a loved one in the family, which was so overwhelming. But God brought us through all of this. Psalm 68 verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. He gives us our daily bread and He carries us through our burdens each day. You see, God knows how much we can bear and His grace is sufficient for each day. But there is another dimension to our burdens. God can turn those burdens into benefits. And perhaps He wants to turn your burden into a benefit and do something special for you and through you. Remember what Joseph told his brothers in Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 to 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, it may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him. So they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. You see that? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So remember, perhaps God wants to turn that burden that you're going through into a benefit and do something very special, not only for you, but also through you, so that others will benefit. Next, we must remember that we cannot go far in our own strength. Psalm 68 verse 34, ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel and His strength is in the clouds. Here David is instructing us as to how we can appropriate the strength of God into our lives. He tells us to ascribe strength to God. Realize that He is a God of strength. Ascribe strength to God. And this we do when we worship God. You're a God of all strength. We ascribe strength to Him. His excellence is over Israel and His strength is in the clouds. Psalm 68 verse 34. That means that His strength is high up. His strength is in the clouds means His strength is so high up And we think of God as loving and we think of God as gracious and merciful, but we also must learn to think of God as the God of all strength. And what must we do? We need to ask God for strength. Your God has commanded your strength. Psalm 68 verse 28. Strengthen, O God, what you have done for us. God invites us to come and ask him for strength for each day. Isaiah 40 verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God has already determined what he wants to do. He will do it through us when we ask him for the strength to do it. James tells us, James chapter 4 verse 2, you do not have because you do not ask. So let's make sure we ask God for strength to do his will. He wants us to be empowered with the strength that he gives us so that we can do his will. And then as we ask him for that, for strength, he will empower us to do his will. Then we must also acknowledge that our strength comes from God. Psalm 68 verse 35. Awesome is God from his sanctuary, the God of Israel. He is the one who gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God. Acknowledge that our strength comes from God. That is something we must do. If you need strength today, don't look to yourself or anyone else. Look up, because God is the God of strength. He wants to command strength for you if you will ask him. You know, often Satan will tempt you to draw strength from the world's substitutes. And when that happens, remember the truths that you have learned in this psalm. When you need strength to continue in the battle, spend time in prayer with God. Ascribe strength to him in worship. Ask him for strength and acknowledge that your strength is from him.